This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
It's been a hell of a week, and I'm glad to be back on Free Thought Radio with you. Whether you're an infidel or an out-of-the-closet atheist, or maybe just a skeptical believer with an open mind, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio, radio for free-thinking people.
And later you're going to tell us why it's been a hell of a week?
I think I'll spare you.
I'm Dan Barker, the co-host of the show, and Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. As Annie Laurie said, this show originates from Madison, Wisconsin, and this is the weekend of April the 9th, 2011. Free Thought Radio also broadcasts in Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in Monterey, California, and other places. I know there's a low wattage station right here in Madison that actually rebroadcasts our show, I found out. And, of course, it podcasts everywhere throughout the natural cosmos. The Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are the country's largest organization of atheists and agnostics, with getting close to 17,000 members now, 16,600 and something members, non-believers, non-theists, atheists, agnostics. We don't care what we call ourselves. The joke is that we all disbelieve in the same God, and we work to keep religion and government separate, and we work, like what we're doing on this show, we work to educate the public about the views of the non-religious.
There is so much that we could be talking about that's been in the news this week and in the past couple of weeks, and some of it we're going to cover with our guest on the second half of Free Thought Radio, and that's...
And finally, we get to talk with P.Z. Myers, the very popular blogger. He's a professor. He has this godless science blog called Pharyngula, and he'll tell us what that means. He's a professor at the University of Minnesota in Morris. He's the author of this very, as I said, very liked free thought blog called Pharyngula, and he will have a lot to say about the news.
And we do want to be talking in future shows about this very frightening nationwide push for vouchers. It started here in Wisconsin with Governor Walker talking about expanding vouchers from a small group of, well, not that small, 22,000 low-income students in Milwaukee to expanding it to wealthy students, any students in Milwaukee. And it's going on in Indiana, Pennsylvania, through the back door in Florida, New Jersey. There are school boards even passing programs that primarily and almost exclusively benefit religious schools. So we want to talk about that. We also want to talk about the Wynn decision, and we will be talking probably next week or the week after with the attorney who argued the Wynn decision and unfortunately lost this week.
And it's Wynn spelled W-I-N-N. Well, you just can't win with this Supreme Court.
And that's Dan's pun. It's a complicated issue, a decision that came down by the Supreme Court on Monday related to indirect subsidy of religious schools in Arizona. And like I said, when we have the expert on our show, we'll talk more about it. And we also do want to talk about the National Day of Prayer and all those unconstitutional actions going on in preparation for the first Thursday in May in a future show. For a sneak preview, you ought to go to the website of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, which runs this government event,
this
basically.
Private group that runs
Evangelical
it.
Christian, and just go to the video. They have a ridiculous video. We can't play it because there's no, it's just ominous music and footage about what happens to real people when they don't pray.
Well, it sounds like this big over-the-top military war music.
Bah. And basically, this God's going to get you if you don't pray.
And all these hilarious. Dark clouds are coming over the nation, and people are on their knees.
And then we continually get calls from people who join us because the American Jay Sekulow's group, the...
ACLJ.
Yeah, it's hard to remember because they basically stole the ACLU, American Center for Law and Justice, which is a Christian right group, is doing robocalls all around the country dissing the Freedom From Religion Foundation and warning people about our victory having the Day of Prayer declared unconstitutional last year and raising money. It's not their case. Raising money on our case. And sometimes we even get complaints from people who only hear part of the robocall and think we're calling them. We do not call people and ask for money. So anyway, there's a lot going on with the religious right.
Well, if they can raise money on a non-existent deity, they can at least raise money on a really existent group like ours, right?
But it's ridiculous. And they have made so much money on our lawsuit, and we have made so little. And you can support the legal fund, and we'd appreciate it. But anyway, we have lots that could be talked about. We'll be getting to these later in the month. But for this week, we want to make a comment or two about the situation over the Quran burning and then announce something that's more fun to think about.
Well, in the second half of this, in the second segment of today's show, we'll talk about some famous people coming out of the closet.
But now we need that grim topic of Afghanistan and what happened when loose cannon preacher, Pastor Terry Jones, burned a Quran with about 30 people watching after a mock trial on, I think it was March 20th, in his church in Gainesville, Florida. You remember that even Obama urged him not to do this last fall, and he went ahead and did it anyway. The military is telling him not to do it. It wasn't covered by the media, but the president of Afghanistan, who is supported by our government, Hamid Karzai, decided that he was going to publicize it, and he did a speech March 31st calling for Jones's arrest, and it set off riots. And you all know that on April Fool's Day, it wasn't a joke, that angry Islamists who were upset over the Quran burning in Florida stormed a United Nations compound. They killed at least 7 UN workers. 4 of them were Nepalese guards. There were 3 Europeans from Romania, Sweden, and Norway, and 5 Afghans, and they also wounded 29 others, and it just kept going over last weekend to the point where we were at, I think, 24 deaths, and who knows at this moment whether there are more. And so, you know, what's wrong with this picture, Dan?
Well, that does show the real dangers. This is just not moot or hypothetical. The real danger of mixing religion and government. Here's the head of a nation getting up and using a religious argument to foment danger, to foment intolerance and killing.
And here we have also this preacher who knowingly did something that he knew would inflame the Islamic world. And Dan, you had a comment. You said he burned the wrong book. What did you mean by that?
Well, we don't believe in burning books. Let's make that clear. Not for censorship reason. I mean, you can do what you want with your own property, but if you're trying to make if you're trying to stop people from reading a book, then burning it is the wrong thing to do. We think that people should read the Quran. And in fact, a lot of our members say reading the Bible is what turned them into atheists. So we encourage reading the books. But if Terry Jones is going to burn a book, he picked the wrong book, because historically, the Bible has been responsible for more bloodshed and intolerance than the Quran has been.
Yeah, so it's just the whole thing is full of irony and full of the danger of religion in our modern world. This is our world today, where people are dying over a book about a God that doesn't even believe exist. And so, but now we want to turn to something much more fun.
Well, there's that song by Hollineer, remember? Do you want to do that now?
We want to go out with that, Dan.
All right.
But now we want to turn to something fun, and that is that the Freedom From Religion Foundation just this week, and you're really getting a sneak preview, launched de-baptismal certificates. And these are pretty certificates. And Dan, why don't you read what they say?
And these are just available this week by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. It's a beautiful frameable, but also with a nice border. It says de-baptismal certificate on the top of it, and it has the actual seal of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is embossed and stamped and signed. And the certificate bears also the tongue-in-cheek saying of the 19th century freethinker Robert G. Ingersoll, who said, "With soap, baptism is a good thing." Should I read the certificate? Okay. It says this: "I, having been subjected to a Christian baptism before reaching an age of consent, or having submitted to baptism before embracing free thought and reason, hereby officially renounce that primitive right and the church that imposed it. I categorically reject the creeds, dogmas, and superstitions of my former religion, particularly the pernicious doctrines of original sin and damnation. I further denounce as an affront and defamation to humanity the false and demeaning belief that any baby is born with original sin and must be cleansed of it by baptism. From this day forward, I wish to be excluded from any claims of religious affiliation or membership based on baptismal records." And then you, if you want to get one of these, you can sign it yourself, and then or Annie Laurie will sign it, officially sign it from the foundation.
We're going to have a downloadable, the link will probably be up by early next week if it's not up today. There'll be a downloadable version that's free. You can run it off in color. You can do what you want with it. But if you want an official signed debaptismal certificate from the Freedom From Religion Foundation on parchment paper, we'll have a gold embossed seal with FFRF's name on it. And Dan, you're going to sign them.
All right.
You're going to get...
Well, I already did one.
You're going to get a little tired, but... Because you're a former minister, we thought it'd be cute if we have a line for everyone to sign their own name. And on this date in the year of no Lord, you are debaptized. And then it will be affirmed by you, Dan, on behalf of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And so we'll send out two fancy copies, both embossed, and one you can either give to your friend or mate or whoever, or you can send it on to the church of your choice to tell them, take me off your rolls. And so we think this is a very nice way to make a point. It's both lighthearted, but we also want to spur a little public debate over the meaning, or I should say the demeaning, of baptism, and remind the public that many people have been killed and schisms fostered and holy wars sparked over debates on when and whether to baptize babies and how to sprinkle them.
Well, the 30 Years War in Europe, that was one of the issues between Protestants and Catholics about infant baptism. People were killed over that issue.
And childhoods and pieces of mind have been blighted, are still being blighted today by these very ignorant, vicious sermons saying that you'll go to hell if you aren't baptized. So you can go to FFRF.org. You can look under Timely Topics to buy them. You can look under Shop. And now we want to kind of go out of this segment with just a little bit of Holly Near's, what's it called, Dan?
It's called I Ain't Afraid. And Holly Near is a feminist singer-songwriter, and she talks about all these different religions and the danger that can be done in the name of these religions.
I ain't afraid of your Yahweh. I ain't afraid of your Allah. I ain't afraid of your Jesus. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I ain't afraid of your churches. I ain't afraid of your temples. I ain't afraid of your praying. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. Rise up to your higher power. Free up from fear, it will devour you. Watch out for the evil of the hour. The ones who say they know it all are the ones who will impose it on you. I ain't afraid of your Bible. I ain't afraid of your Torah. I ain't afraid of your Quran. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God.
Okay, that's a Holly Near song. That was Dan performing it. And I have to say, I'm not sure we're on the same page with Holly Near, because I am afraid of the imaginary deities that are depicted. They're very fearsome if they did exist. The reason we're not afraid of them is because they don't exist. And we definitely are afraid of what's been done in their name. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. And we're going to be back in the second segment to have some very good news about very famous people coming out as atheists. We'll have some fun. And then more fun is coming up with an interview with P.Z. Myers, who is the blogger for
Pharyngula.
Pharyngula. So stay tuned.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Don't sit on the sidelines when our country is facing a religious crusade by would-be theocrats who want to put a God that doesn't even exist into our government. Join the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org.
Now, in April, we have a lot of famous freethinker birthdays, including Christopher Hitchens, who is turning 62, I think it's April 14th, on the same day that Thomas Jefferson turns 268.
Boy, they're both kind of old, aren't they, here? Tom Lehrer's birthday is today, Saturday, April the 9th.
So let's play a little Vatican rag. This is Tom Lehrer.
First you get down on your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect, and genuflect, 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 and make do whatever steps you want if you have cleared them with the pontiff. Everybody say his own, Kyrie eleison, doing the Vatican rag. Get in line in that processional, step into that small confessional. There the guy who's got religion will tell you if your sin's original. If it is, try playing it safer. Drink the wine and chew the wafer. 2, 4, 6, 8. Time to transubstantiate. So get down upon your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect, and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Make a cross on your abdomen when in Rome, do like a Roman. Ave Maria, gee, it's good to see ya. Getting ecstatic and sort of dramatic and doing the Vatican rag.
And that's Tom Lehrer, who turned 83 today, April the 9th. Speaking of another musician, Billy Joel was recently interviewed by Howard Stern, and he said that he is an atheist. And we didn't have space a few months ago to work in the clip, but let's listen to it today.
Are you the type of guy that believes in karma and things like that? Like,
yes.
Oh, that's going to come back at me. Someone's going to do something terrible to me. I'm going to get hurt by something.
Not in the religious or spiritual sense. I just, that's how things seem to work out.
Are you religious? Do you believe in a God?
No.
You don't?
I'm an atheist.
Do you think people who believe in God are dim-witted? Like they're just,
no.
Are they scared?
I don't know. They're different than me. That's
right.
All I know.
So you don't go to a temple or a church or anything and get it moved by that kind of thing?
I tried it all on. I used to go to Mass when I was a little kid.
So, thanks, Billy Joel, for coming out. And we always knew the next person we want to play a clip of was an atheist. We already gave an Emperor Has No Clothes award to Jesse Ventura when he was governor of Minnesota and had given an interview saying that he had cast off the crutches of religion.
And this is a clip from the David Pakman show that played on Sirius Radio. He was talking about his new book, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read.
And I don't know that you would have the same ability could you even go back to being governor in Minnesota?
Why not?
I don't know.
You're probably right. You know why? Because I came out of the closet.
Right.
No, do you know what coming out of the closet is?
Well, you started speaking your mind saying what you think is true.
What's the traditional of someone coming out of the closet?
Well, typically it refers to, gay, lesbian.
Exactly. Well, I'm not gay and I'm not lesbian, but I came out of the closet. I've now gone public and said I'm an atheist. Well, if you're an atheist in this country, you're not going to get elected.
I don't disagree with that.
So come out of the closet like Jesse Ventura and the rest of us who are free from religion. Stay tuned for an interesting interview with science blogger P.Z. Myers.
Hi, this is Doug Holmes from Oregon, Wisconsin. Happy to be a free thinker and listening to Free Thought Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and welcome back to Free Thought Radio.
And we're very happy to have on the phone with us from Minnesota, P.Z. Myers. I think most listeners to this show know about P.Z. Myers, the very popular science blogger, and his blog is called, and he'll tell us how he prefers to pronounce it, Pharyngula or Pharyngula, and he'll probably tell us what that means. P.Z. Myers is a biologist and an associate professor at the University of Minnesota in Morris. And the blog is called Pharyngula, Evolution, Development, and Random Biological Ejaculations from a Godless Liberal. And the journal, the science journal Nature, listed Pharyngula as the top-ranked blog written by a scientist. He specializes in zebrafish in the field of Evo-Devo or Evo-Devo, I don't know how they say it these days, but evolutionary developmental biology. And he has an interest in cephalopods. And he's had a lot of research papers published in Nature and other notable scientific journals. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, PZ.
Glad to be here.
And nice to talk to you. And you everywhere I go, we pop up together. Where were we most recently? Was that Denmark or...
Let's see, Denmark, Mexico City.
Mexico City, that's right.
Somewhere in California.
Don't forget Fargo.
Oh, Fargo.
Fargo, right. You're stalking me.
You didn't have to go far to Fargo, being there in Morris. Morris, Minnesota, that's way out on the west side of the state, right?
That's right. So Fargo's 2 hours away from us.
Yeah. And you and Dan, I think, together visited the Creation Museum in, where is that, Kentucky?
Yeah.
So don't forget.
That trip? I think we were on separate trips.
I wasn't there, but Dan was.
Oh, we were there. You were the front of the line, and I was in the back.
That's right. Yes, you were.
Yeah, I was taking up the rear column. So,
my eyes were just blinded by the glory of that place.
Did you see that part where Adam and Eve were in the garden, and there was the dinosaur in the bushes?
Well, yes, I was. I did see that. I also noticed throughout that Eve has very long hair that is strategically located in various places.
Yeah, it's always in front of her, isn't it? You would notice.
Yeah, I just wanted to reach over and brush it aside, but no.
Well, this week in your column, your very popular column, you talk about the Templeton Award that was just given to, of all people, well, maybe you can tell us about it, and it is a little bit of a shocker, a non-believer.
Well, sort of. So it's an award from the Templeton Foundation that is granted to a notable person who has contributed in some way to the rapprochement of science and religion over the past year. And Martin Rees is a serious astronomer. He's got a very good reputation. He's done a lot of work in the Big Bang Theory and so forth. So I have no quibbles about his qualifications.
Isn't he the astronomer royal at the Royal Observatory outside of London?
He may not be known well in the United States, but he's very well known in the United Kingdom.
I thought that was just a Gilbert and Sullivan line. There really is an astronomer royal?
Yes, there is. Yeah.
And I have some of his books. I have Before the Beginning and his book about the six numbers. Was that what it was called? He's a good writer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the Templeton Foundation gave this money to him. And the curious thing is, as you mentioned, Martin Rees is not a believer. He doesn't come right and say he's an atheist, but he does say he doesn't believe in God, and he kind of hems and haws around questions about this. What he does do is he goes to church only once a week, he says.
Oh, well, that's kind of a weird thing to do if you're an unbeliever, unless it's Unitarian.
But he says he goes there because he loves the Anglican liturgy, the architecture of the cathedrals, and the songs, which I imagine you guys can at least sympathize with that last part, right?
So. The music, yeah.
I can't sympathize with that, sorry. I grew up without religion, and religious lyrics really turned me off.
Okay, but some of that music was written by Ralph Vaughan Williams, who was himself an atheist.
Yes.
So you can't fault the music itself.
Not the music.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. I wouldn't fault the music. I think it's also fine to say that the architecture is marvelous. These are amazing buildings that were put up with great effort and a lot of huge investment by the communities and so forth. So, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, it's just so peculiar that they're giving him this award for being this great communicator who bridges the gap between science and religion. And when you look at his comments about religion, he sounds like a little kid who hasn't thought it through very much. I mean, saying that you go to church that because you like the music, oh, sure, but that doesn't mean that you're actually saying anything good about religion. If that's all there were to religion, I would be a Christian, okay? But there's so much more to it that he's sort of glossing over. And when you read the interviews with Reese in The Guardian, The Guardian has a number of good articles this week on the subject, and including a discussion by Jerry Coyne about the subject. Martin Rees comes off as the most incredibly shallow, superficial person when it comes to religion. He hasn't really thought about it, is the impression you get. And yet, the Templeton Foundation is throwing all this money at him. So again, it's clearly a political ploy. This is propaganda. So now this year they can say, oh, see, we really are open-minded because we gave £1 million to...
Whoa, £1 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Shouldn't we make sure that we clarify that the Templeton Foundation gives this award every year to promote religion, basically?
Yes.
And so that's what's weird about this, except that it looks like they chose him carefully.
Yes. But let's point out, too, that the Templeton Foundation has been a little bit weaselly about this. Initially, this was all about religion, and they were giving the prize to people like Mother Teresa and Chuck Colson.
What a combo.
Yeah. And lately what they've done is they've moved away from that, and now they talk about spirituality rather than religion. So we're seeing this fairly common sort of drift away from the specifics into this nebulous domain of, oh, we just promote spirituality, whatever that means.
Or the sort of middle ground of people who are trying to integrate science and religion, like Stephen Jay Gould used to do with his NOMA stuff.
Oh, yes, and Martin Rees is a big fan of NOMA. Yeah, so he thinks that there are no non-overlapping magisteria. Religion has its own domain of whatever, you know, justice, morality, that kind of stuff. And science has its own domain that he's very good at. I just find the whole NOMA concept.
So you can get £1 million for being an atheist who's not hard on religion, basically. He's what did Dawkins say? Dawkins called Rees a compliant quisling for going along with this, taking the money.
And what's he going to do?
Jerry Coyne invented this wonderful term, faithiest. It's somebody who's an atheist who still sits there, you know, making excuses for religion and faith and pretending it is all a good thing.
And may I put in a plug for Jerry Coyne? He's going to get the Emperor Has No Clothes Award at our convention in the 2011 convention in October in Hartford, Connecticut, that the foundation is putting on. And
that's very good.
So faithiest. So these are very cute quips we're getting here about this award. And so I take it you're pretty down on it too.
Well, sort of. I mean, the thing is, you know, this is Templeton Foundation. It's an independent foundation. It's established with John Templeton's wealth. He's free to do with it as he wants. You know, I'm not going to tell him, oh, you can't give it to anyone you feel like. So in that sense, no, I don't really care. On the other hand, I do find it disturbing that this will be touted by the media as some sort of significant award, because it isn't.
This great cosmologist who is figuring out the mysteries of the universe, somehow you can connect that to the mysteries of religion in some nebulous way. I've heard some public atheists say they're tempted. Maybe if they change their tack a little bit, they could get some of that money, you know? Not me, not you, I'm sure. You're not known for your gentleness with religion.
I'm not? Oh, no. Well, you know, I'm really thinking, though, you know, if I keep this up for another 10 years and get really ferocious, and then at the last minute I have a conversion, maybe that will be dramatic enough.
But it'll be too soon, too late for the money, though. So we're listening to P.Z. Myers, the very popular science blogger, the science blog Pharyngula, and he'll tell us what that means, I think, in the second segment. And I'm Dan Barker, and here with co-host Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. Stay tuned.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're talking on the phone with the biology professor and popular science blogger, P.Z. Myers, Paul Zachary Myers, about some of his recent columns.
And your blog is called Pharyngula, and you're on, P.Z. What the heck does that mean?
It's a very esoteric term, isn't it? It's from developmental biology. It refers to a particular stage in development. It's the stage when the organs are first forming, and in vertebrates where we first form the pharyngeal arches, the structures of the throat. And it's an important stage evolutionarily and developmentally because this is when the body plan of the organism is laid out by the molecules.
It's spelled P-H-A-R, pharyngula, right?
Correct.
And so the meaning for you is?
The meaning for me? Oh, well, this happens to be the stage I study in the lab.
Oh.
I study zebrafish development, and in particular, I'm interested in embryos at just this moment when called the pharyngula stage, when they're actually also forming their nervous system. I'm really interested in nervous system function. And so if you catch a fish at the pharyngula stage, what you've got is an animal that's got a minimal nervous system. It's just got a few neurons hooking up, but they still exhibit some fairly simple but interesting behaviors.
So you said it both ways, pharyngula and pharyngula, or pharyngular.
Yes, I go either way.
And so why did you call your column pharyngula?
Well, you know, this was in 2003, and I'm just sitting there thinking, well, what the heck am I going to call this? And I looked around the lab where I was sitting at the time and saw this beaker of fish, and hey, those are pharyngula stage embryos, so that's like a good name.
Well, because you started it not as a big popular blog. It was a class thing, right? You started it for your students.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that the way it started out is I'm in a small liberal arts college, which means that our students have to do a lot of writing and reading and things like that, as well as math and science. And I actually had the students doing writing exercises on the computer. And so I got this stuff that people were telling me about called blogging software, which apparently makes it easy to write things that appear on the web. I installed it on my lab computer, and that's what the students were using. And when the class was over that summer, I just cleared the slate and said, okay, I'll play with this. This is what I'll type into.
Now, you are very, very popular. I mean, you're known in the free thought atheist world for your blogs. They're pretty far-reaching. What have been some of your biggest hits?
they're all over the place. One series that was pretty popular is I sporadically run a series called Sunday Sacrilege, where I pick something that's controversial in the religious community and talk about it and point out some of the fallacies of religion and how it conflicts with free thought values. So, for instance, one was about feminism. Just the fact that we don't treat women as chattel is sacrilegious in the minds of some religious people. So I made a good subject for a little writing on sacrilege.
And then you you did the, when was that, the wafer desecration about, what's that?
That was a couple of years ago, and people still remember that. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, that was talking about Webster Cook, the young man that got into trouble for not swallowing a wafer.
Well, that was national news. That was a big story.
Yeah, we gave him a student award, and he was a very nice young man. But you spread the news about what happened to him, and what exactly did you do in your column?
Yes, that you know what was happening was that Webster Cook was under threat of being kicked out of school for this issue, and so you know that's not just, that's not fair. So I got on my blog and I said, you know, if you want to see some real desecration, send me a communion wafer, and I'll do much nastier things to it than Webster Cook could do. And it was sort of a strategy to both take the heat off of him. He didn't deserve to be, you know, harassed by Bill Donahue. And also, because I'm against religion, it was a good way to highlight the fact that this was a pretty ridiculous thing.
Did anybody send you any wafers?
Oh, I got so many communion wafers in the mail. Terrible.
Where did they get them? They just...
They went to church.
And they stole them for you, huh?
That's amazing. You just stand in line and they will give you a free cracker.
But it doesn't taste very good, does it?
I guess not. Yeah, I've never taken communion myself.
Nor I. But Dan, you have.
Yeah,
confess.
I have. And so you desecrated the wafer in some way, and then you got a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, what I did is, you know, I was trying to make a point that this is a powerless sort of thing. That, you know, I didn't want to get all overwrought and do elaborate things to something as trivial as a piece of bread. So all I did in the final analysis was I looked at what do people do to desecrate communion wafers, and there's all these stories from the Middle Ages about Jews grabbing wafers and sticking nails in them to extract the blood of Jesus, because they bleed when you poke them, and using it in their evil rituals. And I figured that was a perfectly appropriate way to desecrate. So what I did is I went out to my garage, got a rusty nail, and I punched it through a communion wafer, which did not bleed. I was so disappointed. And then just to be fair about it, I also had a copy of the Koran and a copy of the God Delusion, and I ripped them up and ran the nail through those pages too. So I threw out all three.
Equal opportunity.
Yes.
Well, hopefully you didn't burn any books, at least, right?
No, yeah. I didn't burn them, because that's ecologically unsound. That's taking all that carbon and throwing it in the atmosphere. We get enough of that.
You were raised Lutheran, is that right?
Correct.
And then you went through your own pharyngula, I guess, of development to become a non-believer?
It was a slow process, though. I mean, what it was is I first went through the classes that we need, confirmation classes, that's it. I started taking those and realized I was not a Lutheran because I did not believe anything they said, so I left the Lutheran church. But it actually took several years of thinking and reading, in particular reading about science, before I could come out and comfortably say, yeah, that's what I am, I'm an atheist.
And the rest is history.
Oh, I guess. Not very significant history. I mean,
no.
Religion for me was so painless. I know some people it's very difficult, but no, it was like, you know, it's like changing your socks in the morning. Big deal.
Yeah, taking your dirty socks off and putting new ones on, huh? That's an okay analogy. Now, you are so outspoken, really, and what kind of response do you get at the University of Minnesota? Have there been any repercussions about your career? Have you ever had anybody caution you? I mean, are you very open and you're able just to say whatever you want?
I'm able to say whatever I want, but the thing is, I'm a professional. This is my job here, is teaching biology, and so I'm very careful not to cross that line. I'm too busy teaching the stuff that matters in my classes. So it's not as if I'm going into my classroom and railing at people that, you know, if you're Catholic, you're going to flunk my course. I would never do that. So that means there's no conflict there. And then otherwise, my university is commendably committed to the principles of academic freedom. And they've come right out and said, They're not going to endorse what I do, but I have the right.
And you mean you haven't had people going after your email, like Professor Cronin here at the University of Wisconsin?
No. And, you know, the stuff I've been doing isn't so politically and economically charged as his work with the labor movement. If I were threatening somebody's bottom line, then I imagine I might have a problem there.
Creationist students give you any flack?
Yeah, all the time. But like I say, you know, I tell them right out in class that, no, I don't care what you believe. I've even told creationists that it is perfectly reasonable for them to believe whatever they want, because I am not going to test them over their beliefs. I'm going to test them over their knowledge of the science and evidence. And, you know, I may not like their creationism. I think they're wrong to believe in that. But, no, I'm not going to punish students for that.
So we're talking with P.Z. Myers. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm assuming it's very easy to find your blog, but do you want to direct people to it?
Oh, sure. You can just go to scienceblogs.com/Pharyngula. Or if you just go to scienceblogs.com, there's a little drop-down menu and you can search for me.
And Pharyngula is spelled Pharyngula. And, well, thank you very much, and we'll be reading your column.
And we'll see you in Ireland in a couple of months.
Dublin's Fair City.
Yep. What are they calling it? The World Atheism Conference in Ireland?
Oh, was that it? It's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
The best people showing up there.
So keep up the irreverent blogging, and thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, and you keep the foundation going.
Well, we'll try.
Oh, maybe I'll send you one of our new de-baptismal certificates, too.
We'll just announce that.
So we were talking with P.Z. Myers, the popular science blogger. Thank you. And we also want to thank Brian Tarani, who faithlessly is producing and engineering the show here in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffrf.org/radio for the podcast and archives.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org, phone 1-800-335-4021. Please support our broadcasts, our baptismal certificates, our lawsuit, de-baptismal, our litigation, our work to keep state and church separate without going to court as well. And tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting, and we'll be talking about a lot of new issues next week.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday